Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to 95.7 Gabe, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Zion Williamson, Sonya Curry, and Rick Bucher going into the truth machine. Hit it, Laney.
Well, then I guess I have to say it. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach.
I have never used steroids, period.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
We've been on the roll with the truth machine, and it is sponsored by nobody. We got to correct that. Somebody, Janet Rogers, anybody? You guys want to sponsor the truth machine? Keep it at Terrasante here with Zion Williamson, Pop. Sonya Curry on both sons playing each other. And Rick Bucher's report on Kevin Durant's status. Let's start with Zion Williamson's reaction to the Pelicans winning the draft lottery.
Still nervous. I don't know why. I'm just still nervous. Maybe because, yeah, like you said, all eyes were on me. And I think it's a lot to take in because I don't know where I'm going to be.
Uh-huh. Well, when you saw New Orleans got the number one pick, you didn't think for a second, oh, I could be in New Orleans?
It's definitely a possibility, but, I mean, it's not sure until it actually happens.
Uh-huh. Have you ever been before?
I've never been.
Never been, Zion. Get ready for some po' boys, some gumbo, or does he really want to go to New Orleans, Pop? I got a feeling he really doesn't want to be a Pelican, but let's throw Zion Williamson for the first time through the truth machine.
I am the almighty and powerful Zion, God's gift to basketball. Kneel before Zion, the new king of basketball. No man doth ever seen a physical masterpiece as I am. Zion will bring wrath and fury to the NBA until they realize I have no jump shot. But until then, I will make everyone fear, respect, and crave Zion. And I shall sit on my throne as King of New York.
The number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, wow. New Orleans? I mean, I guess that's cool for partying. But everyone will forget about where the mighty Zion plays. Don't like hella people get murdered in New Orleans too?
Wow.
So now I'll have the same career as Anthony Davis and wait until I hit free agency to join a bigger market? Is there any way I can convince Anthony Davis to come back? No? He doesn't want to come back? Damn man. Can I complain now and try to get traded to play with LeBron? I can do that. But I thought if you play in the NBA, and don't like where you play, you get to bitch and complain, maybe I should just go to New Orleans. That way if I suck, at least I can get drunk every night, see some boobies and rule the city. Wow. Alright, Zion the Almighty and Powerful is cool with a big easy.
He is young, by the way.
He's very young.
He is young.
New Orleans.
Wait
is
for Mardi Gras.
Oh, it is a great Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras. Wait, you got
Zion sounds
Essence
like
Awards.
Kawhi.
A little bit. A little sounds a little like the Claw. The mighty Zion. I will kneel before Zion. Let's move on here to Sonya Curry here. Sonya Curry stressing out with the split jersey yesterday. Didn't even have her cocktail before the game. Let's hear from Sonya Curry on both sons playing each other on Monty Poole's Insider Podcast, courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area.
It takes a little bit of the fun out of being a spectator because mm-hmm. you just want to jump up and cheer for a team to win.
Right.
But we're going to have to be very careful because a win for one of our boys is a loss for the other. Mm-hmm. So unlike a regular season game, there's a little bit more at stake right now in this series. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be tough.
She's never lied about that. It's got to be tough on the Currys there, watching her sons play against each other on this platform in the Western Conference Finals. But Sonya must be lying here. She must be lying because we're going to throw her through the truth machine here on 95.7 The Game.
Dell and I are so proud of the career our two sons have had. Our little Stephen has grown up and become a great NBA player, a wonderful husband, and an amazing son. And of course, our other son, whose name escapes me at the moment, but we still love him. We support Seth. Yes, that's his name. Sorry, I forgot. We named our two oldest Stefan and Seidel and then just got less creative by the third child and named them Seth. We are so proud of Seth and, whoops, I mean Seth, for all he's accomplished in the 3 hours of basketball he's played in his career.
Wow.
We support both of our sons that we decided to wear split jerseys. Although, it was hard to find a Seth jersey that someone wanted to actually buy, so we had to get it custom made. But whenever Seth makes a shot, we all say, yay, good for you, Seth. And of course, we're always cheering when Steph plays because he's always doing something amazing. But this is fun, even though, let's be honest, we all know Seth is going to lose, so we cheer him on for now, but we also tell Steph to save us some seats on his parade float. We love our children equally and we don't play favorites.
Bounce pass Seth Curry. It's a three. It's good to the left sideline. Curry, that's Steph with a dribble, doubled. Bad pass taken away by his brother to the right side.
Seth is our favorite now.
Seth Curry waiting for help. Pass to the corner. There's nobody there. He threw it into the bench.
Wow.
Steph down the lane. Over Turner. High off the glass. It's good.
Okay, it's back to Steph again.
Wow.
You can't find a Curry
jersey. That was
jersey.
Really truthful.
Man, you can't find a Seth Curry jersey on NBA.com? Come on, man. Oh, man. Seth Curry. It was good to see him play well out there, man. He was running around, 16 points, four threes. He was fun, man. And he, you know, I remember Seth Curry, Pop, as being a shy guy. He was really talking to the media. He sat there in front of the cameras for about 8 to 10 minutes last night. He spoke well. Proud of
Put
Seth
his diamond
Curry.
Earring in,
With
right?
the diamond he has. Got diamond earrings. Got diamond earrings there. All right, let's get to Rick Bucher here. We got to keep it moving here on the Truth Machine. Let's hear from Rick Bucher and his report yesterday on Fox Sports Radio on KD status.
I knew that it was going to be a reevaluation. I was hearing anywhere between 3 and 6 weeks. There still may be some games missed, but like I said, he may miss this entire series, and it won't matter, and then they'll be ready to go game one come the finals.
We got a kick out of that report yesterday, Pop, before the show.
It seemed like he contradicts himself consistently, but if you go back in his mind, I think he's saying 3 to 6 from the original date that we got hurt, which would be a grade 2. So maybe he knew a grade 2 before the rest of us did.
Who knew? Who knows? Who knows anyway. About Rick Bucher's report? Let's throw it through the Truth Machine.
Sorry, I'm late. I thought this Truth Machine was at 2:18 today. As you can tell, I have no real concept of time. Yeah, he'll be out 3 to 6 weeks and then be back in time for the finals. Of course, in 3 to 6 weeks the finals would have already started, so of course KD will have to use some kind of hot tub time machine once he's healed. Look, can I be honest with you, I don't know when he's coming back. I mean, I didn't even know he was hurt. I was sitting next to Papa's son during the last series, muttering to my Bleacher Report guys how much Clint Capela sucks and I didn't even see KD get hurt. And that's the real f***ing truth, but I'll go on Colin Coward's radio show and tell everyone how long he's out and his deal with the Knicks is a done deal, but really, I don't know. And I would have come on your show yesterday, Greg, until I heard this.
OPA!
Wow. What a Greek tragedy that was. And I didn't think it was possible to butcher something Greek that bad since Julius Caesar's stabbing. Too soon? Sorry, Bonta, I don't know you, and this is weird to bring up because remember this is Rick Bucher's Truth Machine, but it had to be said. Please, Warrior fans, if you see Bonta tonight, throw gyro meat, or as Bonta would call it, gyro meat, at Bonta for his Greek read and not believing the Warriors could win without KD.
Wow.
And now here's someone actually Greek to tell you about this weekend's festival.
It's great to be Greek, even if it's just for a weekend. The Oakland Greek Festival returns to the Oakland Hills May 17th through 19th. The wonderful aromas of souvlakia and loukoumades waft through the air, and the sounds of traditional Greek music and shouts of Opa resonate the hills of Oakland. Enjoy the cuisine and the culture and the dancing. Park in the pavilion or near nearby lots and take the free shuttle to the festival. Every year, Greece comes to you for 3 days. Don't miss it. You'll find more information at OaklandGreekFestival.com. Opa!
Wow.
What happened to Bucher? wait a minute. We didn't put Bucher through the truth machine. We put you through.
Put me through the truth machine. Here.
Hold on here.
I would never say gyro. I know what a gyro is. And a gyro, a real gyro, doesn't have lettuce in it. That's right. If you're eating gyros with lettuce in them, it's a fake gyro, damn it. Gyros don't have lettuce at all. Thank you, Elena. We had a Greek person read the Greek read. Go figure. Should have done that all along.
It's all Greek to me, but okay. What'd she say? Oprah's coming to the Oakland Festival this weekend?
Opa!
Oprah's coming?
Opa! It's
maybe.
Opa.
Oh, I can't wait to get Oprah's autograph.
I want a gyro. What a lamb sandwich. What it all. All right, that was a classic truth machine sponsored by nobody. Maybe the Greek Festival will want to sponsor the truth machine, especially after they threw me in there for butchering that read yesterday. Thanks, Janet, for that, sending me that 1 minute before I had to read it. How will these shades, what's the series go? Goes to Portland. We'll talk about that. Plus, Lamar Hurd, color analyst for the Blazers at 2:30 right here in the Afternoon Delight. But first, let's go to Elena with the latest on what's happening on 95.7 The Game. Opa! Baklava!
Now, back to Papa and Vonte on 95.7 The Game.
Curry gets it, doubled, his pass batted in the air, stolen! A soft pass now, it's up front to Lillard, driving baseline, falling out of bounds, his pass deflected, and goes to Amidu to Lillard for three, he hit it! With 5.1 to go, Portland leads by one!
That was 2 days after Christmas at Oracle Arena, when the Blazers came to Oakland, California and beat the Warriors there in overtime. Warriors were in a bit of a funk there during that stretch, but the Warriors did pay them back 2 days later and beat them up in PDX 115-105. But now the Warriors go back to the Moda Center for the first time since they played before the All-Star break, when Zach Collins and Klay Thompson got into it, and Steve Kerr, threw his clipboard, went crazy, got kicked out of the game. What did the Blazers have in that possession? Like 8 free throw attempts? It was ridiculous there. But the Warriors, last time they went to Portland, they lost, and they're going to be rocking. They're going to be rocking, Pop, the first time they've had the Western Conference Finals or hosted the Western Conference Finals since the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's first of all, anything that happened in the regular season is no longer applicable. I mean, from watching the Warriors go through the year to what they're doing now. So Portland beat them twice. The Warriors beat them twice. But it really doesn't matter. And the one thing, and Lamar Hurd, who's Kevin Calabro's partner on Blazers TV, is going to join us in a little bit here. And just what do they do with the bigs now? So Enes Kanter has obviously been marginalized in this series, and it's what happens when you play the Warriors. You have intentions of playing Capella and, you know, starting out big, but in the end you just got to go small, and it's just what happens. So I think the first adjustment is going to be, if Steve Kerr is going to stay in the starting lineup the way he started the second half last night, and I think that is going to be key. So if you're Terry Stotts, if he comes back with Bogut, then Enes Kanter could play. Really, Kanter has a hard time with Draymond, and he has a hard time with Kevon, and he has a hard time with Jordan Bell for different reasons. I kind of look at it the other way, and if they're, you know, scoring concern more, then they didn't post Kanter at all last night and draw any kind of a double team at all against the other guys that are smaller, which was interesting to me. Even the one play where Draymond raced him down and blocked his shot. He wound up playing last night. He played in the first game over 29 minutes, only played 19 minutes last night, only less than 5 in the second half. So I think the first adjustment Terry Stotts has got to make is read and react what Steve Kerr does. So I could see it another way. I know you want to start Bogut again. I understand that. We could do that. That's fine. And Bogut didn't play very long last night, 3.5 minutes. But I think the other thing is, we really haven't seen the great Dame yet in this series. We've seen flashes of him here and there. But even last night, you know, 6 for 16, he didn't score till late in the first half. And he started to show some signs of weariness at the end of the Denver series.
Remember, Pop, game 6, he went off. in that third quarter against
game seven,
Denver.
He wasn't very good.
Game seven wasn't very good. He looks tired ever since game seven against game five, I should say, against OKC. But Torrey Craig really did a job on him. He slowed him down, Bob. Slowed him down
tired.
A little bit.
He's fine now. He was tired a little bit. The difference is, so, you know, his great strength, and they're different players, Lillard and McCollum. McCollum is harder, I think, for the Warriors to cover because he's not on the ball. He's without the ball. He's off the ball. He's a two guard. And he's very accepting of the mid-range game. He's got a lot of Lou Williams in him. And Clay and Andre, your two best perimeter defenders, take Draymond out of it. They're not great lock and trail guys. They're both better on the ball. So, you know, maybe they run Damian off more screens. They really run a lot of great offense. Terry Stotts, when you watch them more and more, all the flare screens, the cuts, they have movement in their offense. But so the concern with Bogut just would be, you know, as Lillard, he's made a couple of long threes. Like, you know, the first one he made last night, they also changed. They went to a double drag. They had two screeners up top to get him free for his first shot that he made last night. But he's someone you have to, he's Steph-like, and you have to go out and get him way out on the floor. And they'll just keep setting that ball screen higher to get more freedom. And that's where, you know, if Bo gets too far out, then he's just not effective. And I watched the game back. I watched it live, and I watched it back. Bogut played fine, but he's not going to get out on it like Looney does. Looney will switch hard onto it and aggressively attack it like the way he did in the second half. So I think that's the first thing we have to look at before what is Stotts going to do is what's Steve going to do? Is he going to start with the mid-size Kevon Looney lineup or go to Bogut and go to that? So if they do start Looney, would Stotts feed the ball into Kanter and try to, you know, go inside out, bait a double team, or Kanter score, kick it out? I don't know. And then what's going on with Zach Collins? What's wrong with his right hand? He's got two fingers buddy taped together, his middle finger and his ring finger, and the thumb is also badly taped. I watched him warm up before the game, and I'm like, was he getting a knife fight or something? Was he hanging around Jeremy Affeld trying to separate some frozen patties? What's going on here? I mean, do you notice his hand? I thought how many minutes he played last night? Zach didn't play as much as I thought he was going to play.
Played 8 minutes and nine seconds.
Let's go. And he didn't get in until after Leonard, Hood, Curry, and Turner. What's wrong with Zach Collins?
No idea, man. That was weird to see Zach Collins not get run. We thought it could be an X factor in this series coming off the bench for the Blazers. I thought he'd play at least 20 minutes. Now, you see Cantor's minutes went down. He played, 29 and some change in game one, 19 minutes and 3 seconds last night. So they cut his minutes by 10, at least 10 minutes.
Less than five in the second half.
Right. Yeah, he did not play much at all. Myles Leonard, of course, playing 16 minutes and 41 seconds. Just tell me about Portland, Pop. I've been there before, but not during basketball season. Went up there a couple years ago for the 4th of July weekend. It was sunny. It was nice. I like that town a lot. Tell me about Portland, the basketball town. They're going to be revved up. And every time I watch a Portland game on TV when they're at the Moda Center, crowd's loud. They're into it. They have their Blazers gear. I know it's the only show in town outside of the Portland Timbers that plays in a major league soccer league. But the Moda Center seems like it's rocking. Tell me about your visits of Portland and what type of basketball town it is.
I love it. It's pure basketball. What else is like it? Oklahoma City. But Oklahoma City's a dust bowl. I'm not a fan. Portland's cool. Portland's got a kind of a Berkeley-ish vibe to it. Great downtown. Willamette River, great Pinot Noir. There's a sophistication there. I mean, it's very different than the Bay Area. It's a lot of, you know, flannel and heavy clothing, and it's gnarly weather. It's up, you know, very top of the country, so it's like Seattle and very, you know, comparable with the rain. And they love basketball. And, you know, I've been watching basketball my whole life. And they were an expansion team in 1970, came in with my Buffalo Braves and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I've been watching their franchise forever. And when Dr. Jack got there and Bill Walton, a lot of what we see with Jokic and just the high post passing, it was different. And their guards there, Bobby Gross and Dave Chwardzik and Lionel Hollins and Mo Lucas, and they were so fun to watch. I remember that 77 finals like it was yesterday. They dropped the first two games to Philly, came back and won in six. And They beat, you know, Julius before Moses was there. Daryl Dawkins was there. But anyway, they and since that point, they love basketball. We do have to give Clay a little bit of a history lesson. He keeps talking about, you know, going to the, it was called the Rose Garden, and now it's the Moda Center. I think he's confusing it with the old Memorial Coliseum, because, or whatever the place was called before that, I think it was that.
It was the Rose Garden, yeah.
Before this place.
Oh, yeah, their old building, the Memorial.
Yeah, it was 10,000 and, what was it, 10,033
like
or 10,333, and it was old bleachers. Michael Thompson didn't play in the Rose Garden, did he? No, Michael Thompson was the first pick in 78. So Clay's confusing the old place. Now, I don't know, maybe, you know, ran around this building, but his father didn't play there. So this building was totally state of the art. I remember when it first opened, I think PJ was the first coach they had there, and it was Paul Allen, and it was they used to call it the Purple Palace. What was it called? America West Arena, the Phoenix's place, whatever it is now.
Talking Stick Resort, yeah, or something Resort like Arena. That.
But when it was Phoenix's place was, right. Wow. Yeah. It was so great. Way, way the best ever. And had a practice court right off the baseline of the existing arena. But then when Paul Allen built this place, and it was the Rose Garden originally, and it's the Rose City. They have a big Rose Festival, which is usually, I think, right around this time of the year. And now it's called the Moda Center. It's a state-of-the-art building. I mean, it's a fabulous building, and they get really into it. And they're great basketball fans there. I remember they used to have the old Sasquatch guy come out and stomp on the opponents years ago. And one time it was Dale Schluter, who was the former center, who did it. But you feel them. They are into basketball, and they've always been. It's a great environment. I think they're better basketball fans than certainly the Rockets fans are and the Clippers fans are. And so it's going to be, just because of this building and the daunting nature of it, it's going to be difficult. But the Warriors know how to play up there. They've won playoff games there. But I think with Lillard, I think you're going to expect him to play a little better, and he may break out the really long three a little bit. I think their guys are just going to play better. And they were better last night for most of the game, but they weren't quite, you know, better and best at the end, and they wound up losing. But I love Portland. I love to go up there. There's a place called Jake's where you get in right in downtown, the old Bouillabaisse is. I mean, Barnett was a former Blazer, so I would travel with Jim, and he knew where to take me. Great city, and they love basketball. There will be no lack of energy. They're a prideful bunch, and as I say, as far as a road venue, this is going to be a harder challenge than the Warriors faced in Houston or Clippers. The Blazer mania still lives, and they love that basketball team. And they've not played in the Western Conference Finals, Bonte, going back 19 years.
They played the Lakers.
They have not played since 2000.
Yeah.
So they had Sheed. They had Scottie Pippen.
Yep.
They had Arvydas Sabonis.
Bonzi.
They had Detlef Schrempf.
Bonzi, don't forget.
They had
about
a young Jermaine O'Neal. They had Steve Smith before he was traded for Steve Kerr. Damon Stoudemire, Bonzi Wells.
They were loaded. They were
loaded. Was Greg Anthony on that team? I think Greg Anthony might have been on that team. They've not had a home game in the Western Conference Finals going back to that bunch.
And remember, they had a 15-point lead in Game 7 against the Lakers at Staples Center in that Game 7, and Kobe and Shaq came back and rallied and won that series in 7. Portland was loaded. That was a great, great Portland basketball team there. And then, of course, all the teams with Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter and Kevin Duckworth and Cliff Robinson, Jerome Kersey.
You're going back to the old team, man. They had the team tradition. With Rick Adelman.
That's where I grew up. That's the last time they went to the –
that was my team, Terry Porter and – Clyde and Jerome Kersey. Buck Williams was a hell of a good player. Kevin Duckworth. That was a really well-coached team and a great team, but they ran up against Michael.
And Isaiah and Joe Dumars in one of those finals as well. Warriors playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Let's bring in Lamar Hurd, the color analyst for the Portland Trail Blazers on television here. Lamar Hurd joins us here on the Afternoon Delight. First of all, Lamar, thank you for the time today. And just tell us what you've seen in the first two games in the Western Conference Finals. Game one was a blowout, even though the Blazers entered the fourth quarter down 6. But last night, they had a chance to steal one.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, first of all. I'm happy to join you guys. And you're exactly right. The first game, You know, you've heard fatigue being thrown out on the Blazers' behalf after wrapping up their series against Denver. And if that was a factor, I would tell you, I think it's more mental fatigue than physical, although I think it was a combination of both. But they had their backs against the wall in the must-win situation and had to summon up everything that they had to save their season. They did that, flew to San Francisco that same day, and, you know, just didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare. But no excuses being made. You play the champs in game one, and Golden State plays like champions.
Yeah, and obviously the game plan was much better. They were much more aggressive, less Kanter and more Myers-Leonard. But before we get into what Terry's going to do for tomorrow night and Monday, just a thought on what's going on with Zach Collins. I noticed him warming up before the game, Lamar, where he had his middle finger and his ring finger buddy taped together like Steph Curry has on his left hand, and also the thumb was involved. And I thought he would play more in the game last night in game two than in game one. Was it because of the hand? Is something going on with Zach Collins' hands that I haven't read anything about so far?
Neither have I. There's nothing about his hand that I know going on. I know Zach's been really good over the last few weeks. He's come on strong, and I know Coach Stotts likes him in this matchup. So if at all he can play him, he will. He definitely wants him to stay out of foul trouble, and he'll try to protect against that. But this team is very tough. They're very resilient. And so if Zach is going to be out there on the floor, you're probably not going to hear anything about any injuries ailing him.
All right. And Myers-Leonard did play, and he played quite well last night. And when he made that big three to put you up eight with 4.5 to go, you thought, you know, you may be able to get it done. But just tell our audience the story. I remember a couple of years ago where – and the Blazer fans, we were saying how great they are, and they're really – supportive, but you know, they turned on him, and every time he touched the ball, they would get on him, and he wasn't playing well. Talk about what he's persevered through to refine the love in Portland and get back in the rotation. And then stylistically, do you ever see them starting him tomorrow night and not playing on his canter as a starter, or you know, going to him early? Just tell me what you're thinking about Myers-Leonard.
Well, to answer your last question, I wouldn't expect them to start him tomorrow. Terry Stotts likes his lineups. He likes continuity. However, with that, we have seen times where he has mixed some things up. But I'm not expecting tomorrow to be the day to do that. But to address what you're saying about Myers' story, it was just a season ago where at home during a home game, he checked into a game late in the game. The game had already been decided. The Blazers were being blown out, and Myers is known as a kind of a pick-and-pop three-point shooter, and so he got in the game right away, took a few shots. They didn't go, and the home base started booing him. And so after the game, one of the first people that came to his defense to the media was Yusuf Nurkic, the starting center who got injured this season. And then, of course, he got support from Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum, and then the rest of the guys. But the fan base, they have kind of had this love-hate relationship with Myers where people either hate the guy or there's his fans from day one that have just loved him and stuck by him. And I think a lot of it, I don't want to get too deep into it because you got to kind of go into the minds of people that have all their own feelings. And, you know, it's tough to make sense of all of it sometimes. But there are some people who, you know, just feel like he should be able to produce more than what they feel he has. There are some fans who don't like the contract that he signed a few years ago, felt like he received more money than he should have. Whatever the case was, Myers is a people pleaser. So he is one of the best human beings you'll ever meet. And he's a guy that will tell you early in his career, some of that negativity would get to him and would negatively impact him. And he got to a place where he started spending his summers really meditating, finding different ways to just get his mind right. And this season, he had his best season of his career. And it just so happened that Yusuf Nurkic, the starting center, was also having the best season of his career. So Myers didn't get to get the playing time that maybe he would have gotten had he played in years past the way he was playing this year. So it's not a huge surprise for people that have been watching the Blazers all season long to see him do what he did last night, because he's had some games like that this year already. It's just been great to see, though. It's been great to see kind of the resurrection in a way where, you know, he used to be down in the dumps, and he has persevered. He's fought through everything. And I do think he will be a contributor for the remainder of the series.
Lamar Hurd, television analyst for the Portland Trail Blazers on NBC Sports Northwest here in the Afternoon Delight on 95.7 The Game as we get ready for Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. The series shifts to Portland at the Moda Center. It'll be rocking tomorrow night with tip-off at 6 p.m. I want to ask you about Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum here. First, Dame Lillard, coming back to Oakland, California, his hometown, playing in these two games here. And he struggled a bit, 6 of 16 last night, 23 points. And we saw what happened on the last possession here. Kind of tell us about where Damian Lillard is at, especially since after he hit that bye-bye shot against OKC. He's had an up-and-down playoff since that game when he did hit the walk-off over Paul George from 37 feet. He had a very good game 6 against Denver, but he struggled a bit here. What are you seeing from Dame Lillard in the latter stages of this postseason?
I feel like I'm just seeing the culmination of a season where he had to be this rock-strong leader. He had to be the person that couldn't show any cracks. So from the time when the team owner passed away before the season, you know, he had to be the captain of the ship that everybody looked at and knew everything was going to be okay. And then when Yusuf Nurkic, the center, goes down, snaps his leg in front of everybody, Dame is the person that you look to first. When the assistant coach, Jonathan Yim, who I don't know if you guys know this or not, but prior to the Denver series, he ended up in a very horrific car crash here in Portland. And he wasn't able to be with the team. Had to have multiple surgeries. There's just been one thing after another this entire season where Damian has had to be the person that you look to first. There's also leadership from CJ and even a guy like Myers. Myers and Damian, they joined this team the same time. They've been here the longest. And those are two guys that can help show other guys the way. But it all falls on Dame's back at the end of the day. And in that OKC series, he was so mentally dialed in. It was unlike anything that I had seen from him. I've seen some really great performances and elite first-team All-NBA type of basketball from him. But what he did, he made a point in that OKC series, and he told everybody he was going to do it before. So I know he took his mind to places that it's just tough to replicate right away. So the Denver series wasn't a surprise to me because not only strategically was Denver doing some things differently, but, man, they just needed a moment to breathe for a second. And it's great that CJ and other guys played as good as they did in that series. But here we are in this one, and I just feel like this whole season for the Blazers, there's been something special about it. There's been something different. And you mentioned Damian Lillard, the hometown kid. I think, and I know most people don't get down to Golden State 0-2 and then come back and do anything, but I think that there is still some noise to be made. And I just don't believe that last game last night will be Damian Lillard's last game at Oracle.
You're saying we're going to have a game 5, which would be on Wednesday. We shall see. You know, in the second half, Lamar, Steve Kerr went to his mid-size lineup. Durant's out, so they can't go Hampton's 5. And they started Kevon Looney. And, you know, the series may start big, and it's Cantor against Sabonis. But at some point, when you're playing the Warriors, you got to go small. And Houston goes to their tuck wagon, and the Clippers wound up going small. And I've been searching for a lineup that Coach Stotts could use. And, you know, late in the third quarter last night, when the game got stabilized, they had Dame and CJ, Evan Turner, Mo Harkless, and Rodney Hood on the floor. How much have you seen a lineup this year where the Blazers do not play a traditional big, whether it's Aminu or Harkless or Turner, and they play one of those guys at undersized 5? And what's the best group to do that when the Warriors go with Kevon and the other four, you know, great players they have?
Well, that's a great question. It is not often that Coach Stotts will play a lineup like that without a traditional big, mainly because his traditional bigs are pretty good players. You know, during the regular season, the Blazers beat the Warriors twice, and a large part that was due to the play of Yusuf Nurkic. Yusuf Nurkic, against that lineup, he was able to win his matchups. And that wasn't happening with regularity a couple seasons ago and even last season. So this season was really the first time when that was taking place. So there might be a part of Coach Josh that felt like they may have an advantage, even with Yusuf Nurkic out and Enes Kanter playing and playing exceptionally well since being inserted into the starting lineup. Maybe Enes could provide some of that same productivity that Yusuf was providing. And that hasn't you know, turned out to be the case. Some of that could be because Ennis is struggling with a separated shoulder, and also, you know, he doesn't have the same size that Nurk has. And so it's not surprising that, you know, it took a little bit of time before Terry Stotts said, okay, I'm going to go away from the big lineup and go with this smaller lineup. And the group that was out there last night was a really good one. Now, when you ask who is the best five, it's very fluid because there are some games when Mo Harkless and Al Fukuminu are making shots from the outside. And if they are, then they got to be a part of the mix because those two guys know the starters with Damian and CJ. They measured those guys really well. They've been playing together the longest. And then those guys are high-quality defenders. If they're not making some shots or if you just want to go with something different, Rodney Hood, the way that he's been playing, you can't go wrong with him right now because you have the size, you have the mismatch ability to go and post up a smaller guy. There's just, it's all positive with him. And so I think it just kind of comes down to who can you still get enough scoring with while not giving up too much on the other end, guys who are adept at playing solid defense. And really, for the Blazers, that's been a fluid thing all season.
Lamar Hurd right here on the Afternoon Delight does a great job on Northwest or NBC Sports Northwest covering the Portland Trail Blazers as their color analyst. Lamar, we've got to do it again, and hopefully, hey, maybe we will have a game five. I think we'll have a game five as well. Yeah. We'll see what happens up there in Portland. Should be fun.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Tell Wheels and Kevin we're thinking of them, Lamar.
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate that. I know they will, too.
Thank you,
Lamar. Lamar Hurd right here in the Afternoon Delight. Great insight there on the Portland Trail Blazers. We're running out of time here, Pop. But real quick, I want to ask your thoughts about this report with Le'Veon Bell. What's going on with the New York Jets? Could Le'Veon Bell be dealt before the season? John Clayton is speculating that the Jets would be open to deal Le'Veon Bell this offseason. Wild stuff going on in New York City.
Well, we didn't. I don't know if we got into it at all. We got into the Patrick Peterson injury yesterday. I don't know if we talked at all about the Jets firing their general manager, Mike Maccagnan, after the draft, which is, you know, not entirely unusual because there's a point where you got to keep him because he's running everything and he's got, you know, state secrets, team secrets that you can't just fire him and let him go. But, you know, you let him pick the head coach. You let him buy Le'Veon Bell and all the off-season moves they made, and you allowed him to run the draft. And I think they got a great player in Quinton Williams, and I think the Quinton Williams wall, I don't know why they're down on Leonard Williams. He's a good player. But in any event, whatever happened there, there was some kind of an immediate disconnect between Maccagnan and Adam Gase. And we had heard a little bit of rumblings like that, but, you know, you don't know if it's true or not. You hear all kinds of stories that aren't true. But then when Maccagnan was let go, the people that are around the team and know it seem to point to the Le'Veon Bell signing.
Right.
And that Adam Gase is not a Le'Veon Bell fan. He does not want a prima donna running back. He wants hardworking guys. And also, you know, Le'Veon Bell can do what he wants, but he shut it down the entire season last year, and he can't go into the new building when they gave him that contract to at least say hi. It's not required. I understand it's a voluntary OTAs, but it's a bad look. And so now, if they're in a situation where they're going to trade him, who finished second in the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes?
Don't recall.
Was there a second-place finisher?
Maybe a distant second. I have
no
idea.
So you're going to take that contract that no one wanted to pay, and then you have to give up draft pick compensation for him? Tell me who's going to do that.
Nobody.
Unless somebody suffers a horrific injury with a running back, and they happen. The 49ers lost their lead back on September the 1st last year. It can happen, but it hasn't happened right now, so I don't know what is going on. I mean, they're going to trade Le'Veon Bell? So that is I don't know what's going on with the Jets, but I'll tell you, that young quarterback they have is a star. And if they screw that kid up, that's on them. So I don't know why their ownership is mad. It's something going on beyond the drafting of Darnold and Quinn and Williams, but they got a great quarterback. They got the best quarterback they've had there since Joe Willie. So they screw that up, that's on them. And Gase has got to get him to, you know, to play, have better players around him, and Le'Veon could help. So I don't know what's going on, but John Clayton is as clued in as anybody. And he said, basically, if there's a suitor, I could absolutely see the Jets trading him before the start of the year.
That's crazy.
Why don't you trade him back to Pittsburgh?
I don't think they'd want him at all.
I'll take half his salary and we'll give you Mr. Irrelevant.
That is weird. Real quick, Eastern Conference Finals game number two between the Raptors and Bucks. What do you expect there? And then the Sharks, game four, baby. They have a chance to take a 3-1 lead over the St. Louis Blues.
No hand jive tonight.
No.
Hand jive.
No.
What do I expect? I don't know what to expect. It's an athletic competition. I have no idea. But
Great.
What do you expect, Monte?
I expect a good game. I don't know.
Okay. I expect a good game. It's a damn game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. I would hope it'd be a good game. It's what these guys have been working for their whole lives. So I like Toronto. I was talking to Bob Myers and he listens to the show and he said, "You like Toronto?" I think Bob kind of likes Milwaukee, to be honest with you.
I like Milwaukee a lot.
I like Kawhi and I like Danny Green. I don't expect Danny Green to get tripped and fall down and give him the ball for a layup. I don't expect that. I expect a great game. I look at it just in the perspective of how the Warriors would match up, and I think they're comparable teams. Probably Milwaukee's got a little more outside shooting around Giannis, but Kawhi is a proven veteran player. So, I'm going to look at it. And just look at it. How would Andre guard these guys? You know, you're always looking at it from the Warrior perspective. It's going to be a great basketball game. I've watched this series, but I haven't locked in. Like, if I know the Warriors are going to the finals, and sometimes it's hard for me. Like, I couldn't even watch really Denver and Portland until I knew which team the Warriors were going to play. I can't. Some guys, like scouts and people, can watch both teams. I can't do that. I just can't. I got to watch one side only and watch everything they do to get a feel. So it's hard for me to watch and really do what I want to do to get ready for the next round until I know which team is playing in that round. So I'll glance at it, but I won't study it until we know which team's going to get out of there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Sharks as well. Hopefully they can take a 3-1 lead, and then game five would be on Sunday at the Tank to where they could clinch a spot in the Stanley Cup Finals against the Bees, the Boston Bruins, who swept the Carolina Hurricanes.
Now, that would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. Joe Thornton going back to Boston. Whoo, that could be.
Think Bobby Orr make the trip?
I don't know about that.
Phil Esposito?
We'll talk about all that on Monday.
That would be fun if they play that. That would be like the Warriors playing the Celtics.
That would be fun.
Not quite. The Bruins aren't as good as the Seas, but that would be fun.
I think we'll be going to Milwaukee for the NBA Finals. We'll talk more about that on Monday. Warriors Game 3 tomorrow night right here on 95.7 The Game. Let's hurry up and get to the Caboose Pistol here on 95.7 The Game.
It's time for the Caboose Pistol. Whoa.
The Caboose Pistol.
The old Caboose Pistol.
A few stories that almost slipped through the cracks.
I know someone who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah. I like big right now on the Afternoon Delight on 95.7 The Game.
Well, even though the Truth Machine is made up of machines and robots and technical stuff and whatnot, they rarely get anything wrong, we'll bring up one mistake the Truth Machine made. I guess Julius Caesar was Roman and not Greek, so there you go.
Come on. You didn't know that? You thought Julius Caesar was Greek?
Whatever happens in the machine and gets pushed in, it comes out.
Wow.
It is what it is.
Oh, boy.
Are people giving you a hard time about that?
It's the Truth Machine.
It's the Truth Machine.
The Truth Machine. Truth Machine. They're giving the Truth Machine a hard
Either
time.
Way. And we also kind of gave, or I should say the Truth Machine gave Rick Bucher a little hard time. But we like Buke.
It gave me a hard time.
Well, yeah.
Was it Rick Bucher? He gave me a hard time.
Bonte's okay. But we're friends with Buke, and Elena actually does the voiceover for his podcast, Bucher and Friends. Isn't that right, Goobs?
That's correct.
Yes.
Take a listen. Yeah, I do.
Let me hear you. Play the sound.
We don't have the sound, Bonte. We're not going to play the sound of the podcast. But yeah, she does the voiceover for the podcast there. Greg, did you sit next to Chris Mullin last night at the game?
Why do you ask?
Well, he only brought it up like five times during the show.
Yeah, because he wanted to watch the game. Yeah, as we were wrapping up the pregame, he asked Raymond for a couple of tickets, and I said, "Where are they? Are they good seats?" And he got good seats, and they were right off our set. So, we sat in the crowd. We were up in the suite the first game, and Mullen's a gym rat. He wanted to feel it a little more. So we sat down there, and then the Warriors were not playing well at halftime. I think Kalena felt, we only got two. We didn't get three, and I felt bad, so we flipped. So Kalena went down for the second half.
Oh, okay.
The Warriors played much better when he was down there than when I was there.
So is that the first time you've been on a Jumbotron as a fan?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't know. I think I did the kiss cam one time.
Did you?
Did you
but
really?
The guy that
with
I was
Mullen?
Sitting next to, I never met him, so it was really awkward.
Yeah, kind of awkward last night when you guys were really close at everything. And
you see Pop popping and waving.
Vontae said I was taking his shine away. What do you want me to do?
No, I'm kidding.
I applauded joking. When he was sitting there. I mean, I don't have no idea how it went on. What was the, how did it play out?
Yeah, everybody saw that Mullen was on the thing, and everybody applauded.
Yeah, they probably didn't even recognize me. Was I wearing my glasses then or no?
You was not.
No, you were knee-deep in your iPad.
You had your iPad there in the seat? Did your iPad work there?
It was probably the part of the game when I couldn't get cell service there, and I was looking for the box score.
Well, it is a game. But yes, I get it. So, Bonte, we're all making fun, but the Greek Festival is happening this weekend. Even though you didn't do the read well yesterday. But
wow.
But you know what? You'll be there tonight with Anna Kakarakis, and yep. It's going to be a fun time. And I will let everybody know what's going down at the Greek Festival. Hit it, Elena. Oh, yes. The Greek Festival. Everyone here at 957 The Game goes. It's a fun time, and it'll be great. The Oakland Greek Festival couldn't be possible without Anna Kakarakis and her husband, Paul Fakouros, who looks like... That's his name.
Say that slowly.
Paul Fakouros.
I thought it was Kakarakis.
Nope. That's Anna's maiden name.
Oh, okay.
And it's Paul. So
hi, Paul.
You can see Paul. He looks like Tony Soprano, and he's probably the head of the Greek Mafia. And come out to the Oakland Greek Festival. It's time to get freaky and Greeky on the dance floor as Frosa. Is that how you say her name, Elena?
Frosa?
Yeah. She'll be playing the Greek slaps. And while the music is playing, everyone will be dancing. And you'll probably hear me in the background trying to watch the Warriors game on a muted TV saying, turn the sound on! But that's all right.
Dancing is a sight to be seen in
yes,
itself.
Yes, I do love to get down to the Greek Festival. Have a meet and greet with 957 The Game host Anna Kakarakis, Benita Hill, and a very high Dan Dibley. Also, meet Elena's dad, Jim, who will pay for your drinks, talk about how the NBA is rigged, and pitch ideas for the Truth Machine. I love the Greek Festival. I ran this live on the air in order to get free tickets from Anna for tomorrow. Hopefully she hooks them up. And so the Caboose Pistol could be sponsored by the Greek Festival and Truth Machine, because we have no sponsor. All right, guys. 1 week, hopefully, we're having a 3-day weekend because we don't want to have a Game 7 on Memorial Day like last year. So hopefully from 1 week from today, we're getting ready for the finals, and KD will be healthy in 1 week. It's been oh, yeah. So get ready. Coming up next, Guru. He's going to be co-hosting with Damon Bruce from 3 to 7. That's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
That's it for us. We'll be back Monday at high noon. I'm going to the Greek Festival from 6 to 8 p.m. Come on out. I'm teaching people cooking lessons on how to cook Greek food. And, of course, tomorrow night, Nick's Crispy Tacos for game number 3. You don't want to miss that at 1500 Broadway at Polk Street in San Francisco. Nick's Crispy Tacos. See you there, everybody. Have a great weekend.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.